QST, from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 21st, 2013. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Dueling Emergency Exercises in the Pacific Northwest, MCOM East Conference to feature ARRL Chief Operating Officer and Boston Marathon Operator Harold Kramer, WJ1B. ARRL Hurricane Webinar included FEMA Administrator. MARS to join Asian operators for Major Disaster Test. Letters, Memory of a Young Fallen Ham, and OXCOM course held in Nevada. Air Force Marathon Amateur Radio Coordinator seeks operators. Hawaii Hams muster to help forecasters track Tropical Storm Flossie. Nominations open for the George Hart Distinguished Service Award. Hams aid crew of foundering vessel. And K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now, here are the stories. Dueling Emergency Exercises in the Pacific Northwest. The Portland Area Capabilities Exercise, or PACE, the Washington State Annual Bioterrorism Exercise, or WASABI, both took place on May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, 2013. Even though these drills were scheduled midweek and in parallel, more than 20 members of Clark County, Washington Aries Races staffed emergency communication stations at the Clark County EOC, the Vancouver Fire Department's Command Center, Fort Vancouver, which is the site of a law enforcement terrorist capture and hostage rescue drill, Legacy Salmon Creek Hospital, the Clark County Public Health Department, and Clark College. Pace Setter, a regional full-scale exercise, was designed to establish a learning environment for the players to exercise operational response plans, policies, and procedures as they pertain to a biological threat and a mass casualty incident. As such, it involved people from more than 65 jurisdictions in the Portland Urban Aries Security Initiative District of Clarkamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, plus Clark County in Washington, as well as federal partners FBI, Coast Guard, Centers for Disease Control, and FEMA. The master scenario events list was more than 20 tabloid-sized pages in length. The other exercise, WASABI, focused this year on Clark, Cowlitz, Skamania, and Wakiakum counties in southwest Washington. It involved local and state public health agencies, local and state emergency operations centers, hospitals, local, state, and federal law enforcement, local fire agencies, and community volunteers. The first 2 days of the exercise tested public health's ability to identify the biological agent and the source of exposure and to plan for a medical response. Day 3 involved setting up a medication center at Clark College and distributing imitation antibiotics to nearly 200 student volunteers. Amateur radio communication links were established between the county EOC, the public health department, and the exercise point of distribution at Clark College. Planners wrote a phone system failure into the exercise scenario, and amateur stations passed formal message traffic for the health agency. Were there communications learning opportunities for Aries? Yes. The local terrain at Fort Vancouver induced difficulty connecting via Winlink 2000 to the Fire Department Command Center and the hospital until an RMS station across the Columbia River in Multnomah County, Oregon, was identified. The auditorium at Clark College is a great Faraday cage, and messages between there and the Public Health Department had to be relayed via the county EOC. We wish to thank Steve Averill, WA7PTM, a Western Washington official emergency station, for this information. MCOM East Conference, to feature ARRL Chief Operating Officer and Boston Marathon Operator Harold Kramer, WJ1B. Registration is now open for MCOM East, an ARRL-sanctioned amateur radio emergency communications conference. At the conference, amateur operators involved in emergency, disaster response, and recovery communications can attend training sessions on technical topics, learn from served agencies, and interact with other operators from all over the area. MCOM East will be held again this year in Rochester, New York, on Sunday, September 29, 2013. The featured speaker this year will be Harold Kramer, WJ1B, the ARRL Chief Operating Officer, who was working the Boston Marathon finish line operation as a radio operator when the bombs exploded. Most presentation slots have been filled, but a few are still available. If you are interested, please contact info@mcomeast.org. Please note, MCOM East is one word and is spelled E-M-C-O-M-M-E-A-S-T. mcomeast.org, or visit the conference website at www.mcomeast.org. And again, MCOM East is one word. Let me repeat the email address. It's info@mcomeast.org. MCOM East is all one word. And the URL for the website is www.mcomeast.org. Again, MCOM East is one word. Thanks to Jeff Weigel, WY7Q in Rochester, New York, for this submission. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 21st, 2013. We'll pause now to allow stations to identify. ARRL Hurricane Webinar included FEMA Administrator. Amateurs flocked to the 2013 ARRL Hurricane Webinar, which was held Monday evening, July 15th. A total of 410 amateurs attended, the highest attendance ever for an ARRL webinar. Administered by ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, the attendees were given presentations on a number of topics, including an overview of the 2013 hurricane season forecasts and the role of IRLP Echolink in disaster communication by veteran Skywarn volunteer Rob Macedo, KD1CY, the history and current status of the National Hurricane Center's amateur radio station, WX4NHC, by Julio Ripoll, WD4R, a summary of Hurricane Watch net activity by net manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, and the importance of publicizing amateur radio communication support by ARRL Media and Public Relations Manager Sean Kutzko, KX9X. Among those registered was FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, who posted his attendance on his Twitter feed. He wrote, "Enjoyed joining other hams for training to prepare for the 2013 hurricane season." Mr. Corey said, "It was great to see such a large attendance for this year's hurricane webinar. Given NOAA's Climate Prediction Center's forecast for an above-average season, we all need to maintain a high level of readiness to support our communities. Let's hope it is a quiet and safe one." The 2013 ARRL Hurricane Webinar was recorded and is available online at www.arrl.org/presentations-talks. MARS to join Asian operators for major disaster test. The Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, members in the United States will join amateur radio operators in Asia on August 26th in a unique test of ham radio's capacity to assist in the event of a major trans-Pacific disaster. Responding to the lessons learned in Japan's 2011 tsunami catastrophe, the U.S. Department of Defense and United States Pacific Command organized Exercise Pacific Endeavor 13 using emergency standards recommended by the International Amateur Radio Union, or IARU. In the exercise scenario, volunteer members of the Military Auxiliary Radio System will establish communication with civilian hams in the fictitious country of Pacifica, actually Nepal, to gather information for emergency relief operations, literally halfway around the globe. Traffic will be forwarded to the United States Pacific Command and the Pentagon's Chief of Information Office via an open blog operated by the Department of Defense for International Messaging. The information will be used to develop possible humanitarian assistance and disaster response actions to assist the country following a devastating national disaster. An attempt to relay slow-scan TV images is also planned. While typical disaster drills handle emergency traffic in plain language, all message traffic in this exercise will involve a sporting event. This is to avoid alarming anyone who might be monitoring. MARS operators in designated locations will scan the amateur high-frequency bands around IARU-designated Emergency Center of Activity frequencies. MARS participants, including the military MARS stations in Okinawa, Japan, and Hawaii, will use their amateur radio call signs. Preliminary tests went well. Army MARS Operations Chief David McGinnis said, "The transition of a MARS operator listening to a conversation about a sporting event and then breaking in to ask about local conditions, such as proximity of the amateur to the closest hospital, was awkward, but achieved the training objective." Thanks to Army MARS via Bill Sexton, N1IN, for this information. And now, letters. Our first letter is titled Memory of a Young Fallen Ham and came from Art Mouton, K5FNQ in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mr. Mouton wrote, "I read the article Hams at Hazard in the September 2013 edition of QST, which featured the monument to radio amateurs killed in the line of duty providing public service communications. I did not see a list of the hams, so I am sending you the following information on a local ham radio operator who was killed during Hurricane Hilda in 1964, Scotty Bernard. I'm sorry, but I do not remember his amateur radio call sign. He died during that hurricane when a water tower collapsed upon the building being used for communications. That tower collapse also killed 7 other people. I was active in Lafayette Parish Civil Defense, or CD, at the time, and remember him coming by the CD location before heading to Erath, Louisiana, to provide communications support. Scotty Bernard was only 19 years old. His obituary said, "The final and youngest victim found was that of the young 19-year-old college student who was working as the ham operator at the time of the crash. Rain Scott Joseph Scotty Bernard was a student at the University of Southwestern Louisiana. The 1963 Erath High School graduate was the only child of Mr. and Mrs. Voorhees Bernard. Scotty was a member of the 5 Watts Club, who trained him as a ham operator. He was also a civil defense member. I was in college also then. We were at the CD location when word came that the water tower had fallen and that there were casualties. Only later did it come out that Scotty had died. I think about this every time a hurricane hits." Our second letter is titled Oxcom Course Held in Nevada and came from Billy Smith Jr., W7HMV, the Emergency Coordinator for Clark County, Nevada, Aries Races. Mr. Smith wrote, I am writing to let you know that I was able to attend the first DHS Oxcom course in Nevada this past weekend. It was simply excellent. I learned a lot, especially how to build a good Form 205 and a Form 217A. Having been an EC now for 4 years, I wish that the course would have been available when I became an EC. In fact, I think completing this course should be highly recommended by the ARRL at minimum. We learned also from a DHS Office of Emergency Communications, or OEC, representative that OEC is considering building a train-the-trainer OXCOM course to enable the course to be taught at the local level to expand the course availability. A couple of attendees at this course, which was held in Reno, expressed disappointment that only hams holding general class licenses and above were permitted to attend. I wouldn't have a problem with having technician class amateur radio operators being allowed to attend. I am hopeful that the course will be given again soon in Las Vegas. Our oldest son, Chris, became the chief of the Nevada Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security Advisor to Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval. He loves the job and working for the governor. He is ensuring that amateur radio, and specifically ARIES, are assets that should be embraced within the Nevada emergency management community. It was due to one of your articles that we had the OXCOM course here. A while back, you wrote about the course being taught in Utah, so I forwarded it to Chris. And, not wanting to be outdone by our neighboring state, Chris followed up on it. And voila, we had the course here. So, in essence, you are responsible for us having the OXCOM course in Nevada. Thank you. It's time to pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL e-letter for August 21st, 2013. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN reporting. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Now back to the news. Air Force Marathon Amateur Radio Coordinator seeks operators. The 2013 USAF Marathon is next month, and amateur radio's responsibilities have grown for this year's running. Currently, we are in need of at least 25 more operators. This year, the marathon will be held on September 21st, 2013, in Ohio. If you are an amateur radio operator with 2-meter and 440 megahertz capability and live in or will be in the Southwest Ohio area and are able and willing to help, please go to the USAF Marathon website and register. Volunteer registration will end August 31st. The URL to register is www.usafmarathon, and that's all one word, .com/volunteer/register_now.htm, with no spaces throughout. That URL again is www.usafmarathon.com/volunteer/register_now.htm. And remember, USAF Marathon is one word, no spaces throughout the URL. The event requires approximately 60 operators to ensure complete coverage for communications for runner location, logistics, and medical emergencies from the hydration stations to the race officials. This is a world-class event and is a very high-profile happening for amateur radio. It can be an all-day commitment for most operators, so be ready for a long but enjoyable and pleasurable activity. You'll get to meet and work with some great people and watch the action up close. we will conduct an in-depth training session on September 14, 2013, at the Beaver Creek Township Fire Station No. 61, located at 2195 Dayton Xenia Road in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Please note, Xenia is spelled X-E-N-I-A. So that's 2195 Dayton Xenia Road in Beaver Creek, Ohio. The training will start at 6 p.m. We plan to have guest speakers from the USAF Marathon staff discuss the frequency and operations planning and general information, and will be passing out goodie bags. The Wright-Patterson Air Force Base senior leaders and race officials greatly appreciate our professionalism and have come to rely heavily on our skills as communicators. They have stated many times that it's impossible to conduct this race safely without our help. Help Amateur Radio shine. Sign up now and volunteer. Thanks to David A. Crawford, KF4KWW, USAF Master Sergeant, now retired, and the USAF Marathon Amateur Radio Coordinator. Hawaii hams muster to help forecasters track Tropical Storm Flossie. Amateur radio operators in Hawaii kept National Weather Service, NWS meteorologists, and local emergency operations centers up to date on changing conditions and power outages as Tropical Storm Flossie pounded parts of Hawaii and Maui counties on July 29th and 30th with heavy rain and lightning. Radio amateurs organized a joint Skywarn Aries Races operation. They used 8 VOIP and microwave-linked VHF and UHF repeaters from state and county races to serve the NWS, the Central Pacific Hurricane Center, or CPHC, and state and county officials. Clem Jung, KH7OH, opened a Skywarn net from the NWS Honolulu office ham station the evening of July 29th to establish an operational plan. The net reconvened the next morning on the All-Star Link repeater system and on 7.088 MHz. Aries and Racy's members also participated. Over its 12 hours of activation, the net recorded 67 check-ins and reports from hams in all 4 Hawaii counties. Net control stations received reports from throughout the state via amateur radio, as well as by cell phones and even social media. All reports were shared with the CPHC meteorologists. Harvey Monomura, AH6JA, and others on East Hawaii provided ground observations of rain and lightning conditions to supplement what forecasters were seeing via radar and infrared satellite imaging. The Hawaii State EOC and all 4 county EOCs monitored the Skywarn reports. As the storm moved west, stations on Maui reported considerable lightning and rain and even small hail, coupled with power outages. As the storm diminished, the CPHC gave the okay to close the Skywarn net on July 30th. Mr. Jung said, "This cooperation between the Skywarn net control stations and the NWS was fantastic. This success was possible because emergency coordinators had worked previously with the amateur radio community that participated in this net." Nominations open for the George Hart Distinguished Service Award. The ARRL Board of Directors established the George Hart Distinguished Service Award in July 2009 to be given to an ARRL member whose service to the League's field organization is of the most exemplary nature. The Distinguished Service Award is named in honor of George Hart, W1NJM, who is now a silent key. Mr. Hart was a longtime communications manager at ARRL headquarters and chief developer of the National Traffic System, or NTS. Selection criteria include operating record with the National Traffic System, or participation within the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or station appointments and/or leadership positions held within the ARRL field organization. Nominations for the George Hart Distinguished Service Award shall be accepted from anyone and shall be submitted to the Membership and Volunteer Programs Manager at ARRL headquarters by November 1st. Nominations should document as thoroughly as possible the nominee's lifetime activities and achievements within the ARRL field organization. It is expected that nominated candidates will have 15 or more years of distinguished service. The Programs and Services Committee will serve as the review committee, with the Board of Directors making the final determination at its annual meeting in January. Recipients will be given an engraved plaque and cover letter and will be profiled in QST. Nominations, including any related supporting material and letters of recommendation, may be emailed to ARRL headquarters to the attention of ARRL Membership and Volunteer Programs Manager Dave Patton, NN1N at ARRL.org, or to ARRL Field Organization Team Supervisor Steve Ewald, WV1X at ARRL.org. Again, nominations and supporting materials must be received no later than November 1, 2013, to be considered. It's time again to pause and allow stations to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 21, 2013. HAM's aid crew of foundering vessel. According to news reports, HAMs in Hawaii and California played a role July 23rd in efforts to rescue the two-person crew of a sailboat stranded on a reef more than 3,500 miles away in Micronesia. The U.S. Coast Guard monitored the situation. The vessel, C'est la Vie, a 53-foot sailboat, reported running aground on a reef in western Chuck Lagoon. When the situation developed, Big Island Amateur Radio Club member Richard Darling, AH7G, was in contact with John Bush, KH6DLK/V63JB, and friends in the Federated States of Micronesia, the FSM. Mr. Bush won the 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award for promoting the development and welfare of the population of the island of Federi in the Ulithi Atoll in the Federated States of Micronesia, in part through establishing communication infrastructure and promoting ham radio. On July 23rd, he was in Northern California testing a new antenna to help him keep in better touch with his contacts within the FSM. During the contact, Mr. Darling and his wife Barbara, NH7FY, heard the distress call, in which the crew reported the vessel was taking on water. The Darlings were able to hear the signal well and passed along important information about the sailboat's location and the severity of the crew's situation to the Coast Guard. The crew had told the Coast Guard that they thought they could walk ashore on the reef and had a life raft and safety gear. On July 24th, the Coast Guard said the vessel's radio had gone silent. The Hawaii Tribune-Herald reported that on July 25th, Mr. Bush and the Darlings said, "We're mostly playing a waiting game. It appears that the situation is under control." And now K1CE for a final. Rick Palm says, "I was reminded once again of the old adage, it only takes one to screw things up for everybody else, when I had a sad conversation with an EC who had had his Aries program and volunteers removed from their EOC. One member had undermined the entire organization's relationship by continuing a campaign of complaints and demands to the emergency manager about how amateur radio must be positioned and incorporated in the EOC. Incredibly, the individual's campaign ratcheted up to include complaints to the county commissioners. Although relatively rare occurrences, these things do happen, and that is why we need to reevaluate and renew our understanding of our role in the emergency management structure and EOC from time to time. It is a privilege, not a right, that we are in the EOC. We are there to provide a transparent service to the emergency manager, who is the professional. We take orders from and provide communications for messages only authorized by the professional emergency management team. We are not there to tell them how to run the emergency management function, nor are we there to make demands for things like, believe it or not, sirens and flashing lights for our vehicles. Nor are we there to complain. We need to be quiet assets, heard only when requested by the professionals, and not liabilities. Most understand these principles, but often it is just one idiot who can destroy all of the long and hard work of ARES members and leaders to gain the trust and consequent invitation and privilege to serve in the EOCs. The daunting challenge to the ARES EC is to identify these individuals and contain them before they can embark on their path to destruction of, arguably, the most critical relationship in all of amateur radio, the solemn relationship between ARES and the EOC. And that's not an easy challenge to meet. 73 from Rick Palm, K1CE. And that's the ARRL ARES audio e-letter for August 21st, 2013. The ARRL ARES audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARES audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.